Good morning. Thank you for leading us in a meaningful time of worship, worship team. We are continuing on and getting near the end of the book of Luke. It has been a while, but we're getting close to the end. And you may turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 22. We're still in chapter 22. It is a long chapter. We'll be covering the last remaining verses today in Luke 22, verses 54 to 71. Luke 22, 54 through 71. The title for this morning's message is Encouragement from Peter. So we begin in verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. And when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But Peter denied him, saying, "Woman, I don't know him." And a little while another saw him and said, "You also are of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." And then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. And then Peter remembered the words of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And so Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him, and having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into the council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." And then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." And before we dig too deeply into the scripture for today, it is important that we set the stage a little bit to what happened previously here in Luke 22 before we get to the verses of today, verse 54. And so I'm going to just reiterate some what was shared previously. And Jesus, in chapter 22, this same chapter we're in today, actually had his Last Supper. It is called the Last Supper, but it appears, according to Luke, to be actually Jesus' Last Supper. And Judas made provision for the devil, and Satan entered Judas. And Jesus takes his disciples to pray in the garden. And John tells us of this account in chapter 18 and verse 3. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. And Judas betrayed Jesus with a kiss. And John again shares with us from this account of his arrest that as the whole company came to arrest Jesus, they all fell back onto the ground when Jesus said, "I am he." Jesus asked, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I am he." And the whole company fell down. And in Luke, it says that it's a multitude. And then Peter, one of Jesus' right-hand men, one of his close followers, draws a sword, and in his confused state, Peter swings at a guy's head, and he ducks and gets his ear. And in Luke 22:51, Jesus heals the guy's ear, who again happens to be the servant of the high priest. And now we're ready to dive into verse 54. Having arrested him, they brought him into the high priest's house. The first part of verse 54. You may have to remember that this all happened at night. And see, in verse 53, Jesus says, "But when I was with you in the daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is the hour and the power, this is your hour and the power of darkness." It seems as if they had thought there was going to be a battle. The opposition to Jesus was well armed, according again to John's account, and it says it was a multitude here in Luke. It could be that they thought it might take all night, or that there actually might be a physical battle. The whole arresting scene went way different than they, the multitude, really imagined. And it also went way different than the disciples had expected. For one thing, just the words of Jesus knocked the multitude out. Boom. And they laid down. And then in all of his ability and all of his power, Jesus allowed them to arrest him. But not until after two things. First, he said, "Permit even this." After Peter took a swipe and took the guy's ear off, in Luke here, Jesus healed the servant of the high priest's ear. And then in John 18, 4-9, something else Jesus asked and was allowed to do in the midst of his own arrest. And I'll read it here, John 18, 4-9. "Therefore, Jesus, knowing that all things would come to him when he went forward and said to them, 'Who are you seeking?' And they said to him, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' And Jesus said to them, 'I am he.' And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now when he said to them, 'I am he,' they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, 'Who am you seeking?' And they said, 'Jesus of Nazareth.' And Jesus answered, 'I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way.'" So again, it says, "That the saying might be fulfilled which he spoke, 'Of those whom you gave me, I have lost none.'" The two things that Jesus was able to do in the middle of his arrest, and this multitude with swords and clubs allowed him to miraculously heal a man and then allow his disciples to leave. Wait a minute. Peter just took off a guy's ear and God asked that he be excused. Jesus asked, and he was. That was amazing. Have you ever heard of anybody else in the middle of their arrest have that much authority? God was present that night, and the multitude knew it. It's very different from what they had pictured. It very much seems to me like Jesus allowed them to take him. In my mind, the response that Jesus met this multitude with, who came to arrest him, really blew them away and confused them and also the disciples. And so where do they take him? They take him to the home of the chief priest, it says in verse 54 of our chapter today. They took Jesus to the home of the chief priest. And Matthew Henry said this would not have been normal and shows the confusion that the multitude was in. I can imagine, where else would you go in the middle of the night with this guy that did these things and made you fall back on the ground by his words and then healed somebody and then said, "Let my disciples go," and they let him go. And then Jesus said, "Okay, here we go. He's ready to be arrested." They didn't know what else to do with the guy. They took him to the home of the chief of the high priest. And this also tells me that the chief priest was not alone. I have to wonder about his first encounter with his servant. "Why are you smiling? Hey, what happened to your shirt? There's blood everywhere. Are you okay?" And the guy keeps smiling. I love this part of Jesus' arrest story. It's so perfect to think about the guy that was healed by Jesus. He was just standing there smiling away. You know, every time the high priest called him, he said, "Yes." Over and over, the high priest was reminded by his servant that Jesus healed him. And John tells us that his name was Malchus. There's not a lot of people that have their name mentioned in the Bible, and yet this guy's name is written for us. And so, they took him to the high priest's house, and it appears to be in some kind of confusion because this did not go like they thought. And the rest of verse 54, it says, but Peter followed at a distance. And Matthew Henry says, and he warns us, that this would be the beginning of the end for you and me too, if we choose to follow Christ at a distance. Following Christ is good, and it accomplishes much if we are with Him, right beside Him, following Him, doing what He does, staying with Him. But following Christ from a distance does not accomplish much. When we are worried about our own skin, we are not very effective for the cause of Christ. When we are concerned with what others think, we are not very effective for the cause of Christ. When we are following Christ at a distance, brothers and sisters, we confuse others that are watching us. We encourage no one to become a Christian, a Christ follower, if we personally do not follow Him closely. How closely are you following Christ this morning? How close are you to Christ this morning? We have covered the first verse from our text today. We have to keep moving here. We have a few more to go. My prayer for today is that you would receive encouragement from this passage, especially from the life of Peter. There's three areas of encouragement. Encouragement in the face of uncertain times. Encouragement in the face of the unknown. And encouragement to be all that God has in store for you through the power of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Three areas of encouragement. And as we look at this first area of to be encouraged by, in the face of uncertain times, and we begin to think about that, to be encouraged in the face of uncertain times, we have to pull that in light to where Peter's at and what has gone on to bring us up to verse 54. Again, Peter did not have a clue what was happening during Jesus' arrest. Peter and his disciples thought Jesus was coming to finally claim His kingdom when He came to Jerusalem. They thought He was going to be the king right then and there on earth then. And then Jesus began to say strange things about how He needed to suffer. And then Jesus began to say strange things about what had to happen. And then Jesus did strange things. He washed their feet. The disciples and Peter were confused. They didn't understand. And Jesus spoke that His blood is the cup of the new covenant. And it was way out there for the disciples and for Peter. And then Jesus, in His interaction, tells them to get swords and then to go pray with Him all night. And nothing makes sense to Peter. And then when the bad guys do come and they have weapons and clubs, Peter thinks, now is the time. This is it. This is what Jesus was talking about. This is it. This is go time. And Peter says, I am ready to die to defend Jesus Christ. And he swings his sword and God directs his hands and only gets an ear. And Peter thought he did well. And what does Jesus do? He picks up the ear and heals the guy who Peter was trying to kill. What? Talk about uncertain times. This is it for Peter. And I know that we know better today. You see, we see the whole picture. But as Peter lived it, it was very uncertain and confusing for him. We have a so much better perspective looking back and seeing how and why Jesus did what He did. And it makes sense. But what about your life today? Are you in uncertain times now? Are you disappointed by Jesus today? Is God not fixing your problems? Why is this happening to me? God, what are you allowing in my life? Why now, God? You see, God never left the picture for Peter. And Jesus did not stop working in Peter's life. Jesus just had a different plan than Peter. Maybe that's too trivial for you to say this morning. Or maybe it's just too difficult to say. Take a breath. It may be that God has a different plan for your life than what you have in mind. Can you say this with me? God has a better plan than mine. Can you say that with me this morning? God has a better plan than mine. That wasn't real convincing. God has a better plan than mine. That's right. Wow. Be encouraged in your uncertain times. Peter was very uncertain, and yet God had it in control. And so in verse 55, now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, I do not know him." And I can picture this scene. Peter sitting down, warming his hands by the fire as he sits there, and the firelight dapple reflections moving in and out with the flame flickering on Peter's face. And the girl looks at him and it says intently. And she looked at him through the firelight and said, "You know, this man was also with him." She didn't make a question. She didn't say, "Was that you?" She makes a statement. "This man was also with him." And Peter denied, and I can see him looking down. "Woman, I don't know him." In the firelight there. And then in 58, it says, "After a little while, another saw him and said, 'You were also of them.' But Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And then, after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.' But Peter said, 'Man, I do not know what you're saying.' And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed." Peter did not know what was coming. Peter was facing the unknown, and what did he do? Peter took matters into his own hands, tried to save his own skin. Peter thought he was doing what was best for him. But it didn't work out very well. The unknown is big and scary. The unknown is too big to comprehend. The unknown can make your knees knock together and your legs wobble. The unknown is a terrible thing to ponder. You can't ever grasp it. In fact, you never know the unknown. That was funny. You never know the unknown. You can't get there. So what's the remedy for the unknown? Knowledge of the one who made it all. You want to be encouraged in the face of the unknown? Get to know the creator of the universe, and everything gets smaller. He knows what was. He knows what is. And he knows what is to come. Amen. Get to know the one true God. If the unknown has you in its grip, something for you to do. Read. Read Psalms. Draw encouragement from the Word of God. If the unknown has you in its grips. Draw encouragement for the Word of God. What to do in the unknown? This works. Sing. If you're caught in the grasp of the unknown, sing praises to the God of this universe. It works every time. And if you're not into singing, you look quickly for Psalms. Either way. See, nothing changes about your environment. It's just your perspective. And that's enough. Nothing changes when you sing praises to God about your unknown. Nothing changes when you read Psalms about your unknown, but you know God. And your perspective changes, and that's more than enough. So back to our scripture for today. Peter again is caught in the grip of the unknown and denies even knowing Jesus. And so what does Jesus do? In verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. This sentence is in the first part of verse 61, and it's only found here in Luke. It's not mentioned anywhere else in the Gospels. Jesus would have been in the beginning of his persecution. Jesus was being accused by false witnesses at this point. Jesus was being mocked and struck. It seems as if Jesus had his back to Peter as Peter was warming himself with the servants. It is worth noting that Peter did not have to turn to look at Jesus. In my mind, Peter was probably watching Jesus the whole time. And even then, when the unknown got a hold of Peter, he denied Jesus three times out of fear for his own life. Now, when Peter did this horrific betrayal, Jesus turned and looked at Peter. And even though Jesus had his back to Peter, and even though Jesus was in the midst of a trial himself, Jesus knew all that Peter had said. How many times did it feel like to you that Jesus had his back towards you? Has it ever felt that way, that Jesus had his back turned towards you? Let me tell you softly and yet firmly, Jesus is listening. He does not miss a thing. How many of you have hoped at one time or another that Jesus was not listening to you? How many times have you spoken brashly, figuring Jesus could never hear or even care what you say? Let me tell you softly and yet firmly that Jesus is listening and that he does not miss a thing. Jesus, in the midst of his own trial, heard Peter and turned and looked at him. Matthew Henry says, again as a warning to you and I, Christ takes more notice of what we say and do than we think he does. Christ takes more notice of what we say and do than what we think he does. Matthew Henry also outlines a few different possible meanings to the look that Jesus gave Peter. And of course, no one knows exactly, except Peter, what that look meant. But today we can connect more fully with Scripture by considering some different possible meanings behind the look that Jesus gave to Peter. And maybe, just maybe, one of the different meanings of this look that Jesus gives Peter is the same look that Jesus will give you sitting in his house this morning. Look number one, the convincing look. Peter had said that he didn't know Jesus. And then Jesus turns and looks at Peter as if to say, "Do you not know me, Peter?" Look to the exposing look. What? What was that, Peter? What? You were the one that confessed me first to be the Christ, and now you're disowning me? A compassionate look with tenderness. Poor Peter, how lost and fallen are you without my help? A directing look. Jesus sent Peter outside with his fixed gaze so that he, Peter, could go think about what he just said. A conveying look. A look that conveyed grace to a troubled man facing uncertain times and the unknown. This look conveyed grace to Peter's heart. You see, the rooster could only remind Peter of what he did. And I personally can imagine that every time Peter heard a rooster for the rest of his life, he remembered. And see, the rooster did not bring repentance. It only brought remorse. The look of Christ that conveys a grace to the heart, that's what changed Peter. And brothers and sisters, and that is exactly how Jesus is looking at you today. Because Jesus hears what you say. And Jesus knows what you do. But this morning here, there is only grace in His heart for you. Jesus endured your shame and was beaten for your sins. He was mocked for all our iniquities. And it begins in verse 63. Now the men who held Jesus mocked Him and beat Him. And having blindfolded Him, they struck Him on the face and asked Him, saying, "Prophesy, who is the one who struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against Him. And as soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both the chief priests and the scribes, came together and led Him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." If they weren't sure before, they were really questioning now. Before the high priest stood a man with a bloody shirt, with nothing wrong. With a multitude, with weapons, they went to get him. And Jesus, in complete power and control, came with him peacefully. These guys weren't sure. And Jesus goes on, but He said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." And they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" And so He said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further need do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from our own mouth." There was one phrase that really stood out to me in that section of verses. And it seems to me like Jesus kind of threw it in there. And it's mentioned in a few of the other Gospels. "Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." It's in Matthew 26:64, Mark 14:62, and here in Luke verse 69, "Hereafter the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Jesus seems to be powerless in the bound state that He was in right then. He was very much at the mercy of the rulers of the day. But we know now that He was en route to receive the whole power of God. Jesus was right where God wanted him so that Jesus could receive the power of God Almighty. And maybe that's where you're at this morning. Seemingly powerless. Maybe you're bound up. But just maybe, brothers and sisters, that's right where God wants you. And this brings us to the last of our three points of encouragement. Encouragement to be all that God has in store for you through the power of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Encouragement to be all that God has in store for you through the power of our risen Lord Jesus Christ. Do you want to see the power of God this morning? Do you want to be encouraged this morning? Do you want to see what the power of God can do to one man's life? Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. And once you've turned to 1 Peter chapter 2, please stand as I read this section of powerful Scripture. 1 Peter 2:1, ponder who wrote this. This was Peter, the man who denied Christ. This was Peter. I'm beginning in verse 7 of 1 Peter chapter 2. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious. But to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy but now have obtained mercy. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak or vice, but as bondservants of God, honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. That was Peter, the man who denied Christ. This, what you're reading, is the power of God at work in a man. Verse 23. Who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, he did not revile in return. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but committed himself to him who judges righteously, who himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls. God is asking you, brothers and sisters, this morning to return to the shepherd. Come back to the fold. And Jesus has heard what you said, and he has seen what you have done, and he looks at you with grace and love in his heart. Oh, Jesus does love you this morning. He got you up and he got you here. Now is the time to receive from him the power he has reserved for you. The power to live a victorious life. The power to have strength in the face of the unknown. The power to live at peace in uncertain times. This is the power of Christ received. And this is the power Christ freely gives through the Holy Spirit to those who believe in his name. Jesus is calling you this morning, and his power is waiting for you. Live a powerful life for Christ this week. And if you need to start on your knees, the altar is open and someone will come and pray with you. Bow your heads for the closing prayer, and when I'm finished, the chorister will come and lead us in a song. Dear God, we are humbled again by your word. We are humbled again by your power. God, encourage us again to live for you. Give us your peace and your strength in uncertain times. Give us your grace in the midst of the unknown. God, we are so thankful that we can rely on your power and your might and your wisdom. And we humbly stand before you tonight again in awe of you. God, if there's someone here that needs to start again, that needs to start on their knees, give them strength to come here and make that decision and commitment to you, God. It's not about us. It's not about me. It's not what I've said. It's God. It's you speaking to their heart. We are so thankful, God, that you care for us. And we are humbled again to know that you hear us, even if it feels like your back is turned towards us. Give us strength to live for you. Be encouraged to live a victorious life. In Jesus' name, amen.